Welcome to an episode of the Chop Sports Podcast.
We are
live from the Flippin' Made Easy studio with Dave Sturcio and Chris Gucci. I'm AJ from behind the glass.
Wow.
AJ had to step up.
I wasn't even paying attention.
I'm so sorry.
What we call a good producer.
That is a great producer. Thank you, AJ, for the intro. Welcome, everybody, to another episode. And it's a nice little Tuesday morning. Hope you guys are doing well out there. And of course, AJ, thank you for the bagels. I came into a bagel today, which, you know, is a very rare occurrence. But when you do come into a bagel, it's one of those like feel good moments.
Doesn't make the day better.
I never came into a bagel before.
I've had a couple.
We are here. my goodness. Anyway, so welcome, everybody. That's how we're going to start it. My voice is completely shot. Don't know what it is. It is what it is. But anyway, hope everybody's doing well. But we do have some breaking news. We can't break it, but it already happened. The Yankees have decided to ruin our mornings right away. I don't know how you guys feel about it so far, especially Gooch being the Yankee fan that you are. But Aaron Boone has been brought back as the Yankees manager for a 3-year deal. And I feel like this is the Yankees showing the utmost complacency with their organization. I feel like they're not listening to their fans, which I don't think you have to in the grand scheme of things. You don't have to listen to your fans, but you have to listen to I don't know if they're going with analytics or whatever went into this. I guess when the Yankees were 41-41 and all was lost, and then they went on this 13-game winning streak, and then like they ended the season on a high note ish and then got to the wild card game and got bounced by the Sox. I guess that was enough. Do you feel like I guess that's enough? Like we all said it.
We were going into this week knowing that the Yankees were going to extend Boone.
Did you?
I didn't have that feeling. All the reports were talking about it all week where Steinbrenner came out last week and said it's not Boone's fault. The players didn't live up to expectations, and he's right. But it's up to the manager in certain cases to get the most out of your players. I think Boone failed to do that. It does come one day after the 19-year anniversary of the Aaron Boone bomb. I mean, I guess that's too late. We're probably just going to have to.
That's fine. Go ahead.
But yeah, 19-year anniversary of the Aaron Boone bomb against the Red Sox.
Is that today?
That was yesterday.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Maybe they're just feeling good about that. I don't know. I feel like that's what got Boone the job to begin with. So they're just clinging to
That's the case, if they're giving jobs out based off of history, you know, and historic performances and legendary players, then like Don Mattingly should have been in the running.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That he should have been in the running, but I've never really been a fan of like all-time great players for an organization going back and managing because it causes a conflict of interest amongst the fan base. If you start to fail as a manager and you're once beloved Yankee, it's hard for the fan base to turn on you. So you almost, it's just like one of those situations where I don't want to not like Don Mattingly, you know?
Right. Because he fails at what he does.
I don't dislike Aaron Boone. I honestly think Aaron Boone will get a job in a heartbeat somewhere else, partially because of the analytics that he goes by. And nowadays, bro, especially in Yankee land, I feel like you almost have to be a yes man. And I don't want to compare it to the Cowboys, but I kind of will in the sense of where Jerry Jones and Steinbrenner's typically have been very similar in terms of being really involved with the personnel moves and what goes on. And you could make the case that Aaron Boone is the new Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
You know, enough. There is talent.
I mean,
on
you
the
went
team.
Through it. You had McCarthy for 10 years.
Of course.
Years.
And now I'm going through it again. You're going to probably experience this too, because we talked about it yesterday where McCarthy, you know, it's a collective agreement that amongst NFL fans that McCarthy didn't deserve the Packers job for as long as he had it. And he definitely, I want to say he doesn't deserve the Cowboys job, but because he's coaching a really talented team, this guy's win totals are going to be there again, you know? So if you run into a 10-win season, 11-win season, and McCarthy fucks up in the playoffs, you know, he had done enough to where you're going to keep him around.
So. Right. So I guess that's why Aaron Boone is still here, is because the Yankees, it's not like they had a losing season. But this is the first manager to be brought back that has not produced any hardware in his first 5 years of being the manager. And that's what makes me think that there's not really there's a lot.
That's why I thought he would be gone.
Right.
What we talked about.
Yeah.
All 2 weeks. But
it didn't make any sense to me to bring him back. The players did not play for him. And this goes back to Girardi as well. The players stopped responding to Girardi. So therefore, Girardi was removed. You know what I mean? So if the players aren't going to play for this guy, you know, who are they going to play for? And now they're bringing him back. And I know there's a press conference probably scheduled on later on today, I'm assuming, with the formal announcement. But again, man, this doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like the Yankees are moving in the right direction.
I feel like the Yankees definitely fell short of expectations this year, obviously, right? But when you look at his body of work, I don't think it was really that bad. Like, going back 5 years or 4 years.
It's not like he's had any losing seasons.
He's had a good run, but the thing is, in Yankee land, a good run doesn't cut it. You got to win. You got to win.
Do you think that we're the only franchise that feels this way? Like, as far as, like, it's either World Series or bust? Like, don't you think the other teams are kind of like the Mets don't think this?
I would say in
the other team, like the Dodgers
in
don't
baseball,
think this.
I would say that there's a collection of teams that feel this way when it comes to the Dodgers, even you the think? Giants at this point, because Dodgers they've had such much success. Okay. The Red Sox, absolutely. The Astros. Astros have been in, I think, five
straight.
The Red Sox
were like dead in the water for a little while.
I mean, the Astros have been in, you ready, five straight ALCS game series. Isn't that nuts?
That is nuts.
Five straight. So
I mean, that's how they got here. How they got there is another story, but.
They do have some studs. It's just that when you have great players that are also cheaters, it takes you to another level. But anyway, about the Red Sox and
they put a hurting on the Astros as they take a 2-1 series lead.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Game
yeah,
threes tonight.
They're playing
Game
again tonight. Tonight. What?
Four.
Yeah. So the Red Sox have a chance to, put a stranglehold on this series and get back to the World Series to take on either the Braves or the Dodgers. All signs pointing to the Dodgers losing that series, but we'll see. You know, obviously, crazier things have happened. And, I think about 2-0 series, I think about the 96 Yankees right away, down 2-0 to the Braves, come back, do their thing, the rest is history. You look at a team like the Red Sox, they just feel like they're very resilient. And there was a moment last night where I saw, Eduardo Rodriguez was trying to mock out somebody, and Cora was like, you better knock that shit off. You know what I mean? Like, we're in no position right now for you to start mocking people. You know, just keep your eyes on the prize and get go. That's the manager you need, man. And I don't even like Cora. You know what I mean? Like, but you need that type of assertive player's manager. And I feel like Boone is just going to just drop another nickname on somebody, call somebody, Higgy or whatever, and just like not give a shit.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that there's the one issue with the Yankees is the accountability. Personally, I saw Luke Voit a couple times dogging it this year, and I would pull guys right in the middle of a
right, right off
game.
The field.
If they're dogging it in Major League Baseball in the middle of a pennant race, you're out, bro.
Right. That's right. It just doesn't. I don't know, man.
Alex Cora.
I hate the Red Sox, but I like what they're doing.
I think Alex Cora is the best manager in baseball,
and he's proving it.
Yeah, because look what happened with the Red Sox when he wasn't there last year, and somehow or another, if you look at the way the Red Sox got where they're at right now, it's really unbelievable. And I'm not trying to talk good about the Red Sox. I'm actually going to bash them because they sucked all year in the field. Their lineup through and through was largely inconsistent. They never really got hits with runners.
Did they add Schwarber at the deadline?
Yeah, they did.
So that's like, it's another thing. Like, as much as we were excited about Rizzo and the moves that they made, like, maybe the Yankees should have looked for that instead.
No,
I don't know.
Hindsight's
a grittier player.
What were we going to do with another corner outfielder? Let's be real about it. Like, they needed
Gallo and
Rizzo. We're a nice addition to that lineup. First of all, let's not forget about the first.
I like the Rizzo move. I don't know about Gallo.
I actually like both. Gallo played Gold Glove left field for us. He gave us speed, and they needed two lefty bats. I would take Gallo over Schwarber because of his ability to run. And
right,
Schwarber's a liability in the outfield. Yankees were looking to get better fielding wise, and I don't disagree with that move. And that has really nothing to do with Boone anyway. That's more of a Cashman thing. Hindsight's 20/20. What? Because Schwarber's hitting in the ALCS now. Like, if the Yankees won that game,
I guess that's the reason why we're looking at it.
The point
that
I was making is Alex Cora is the best manager. He got this team to where they're at, and they really were just piecing things together.
They
all
just
year.
Feel
injuries,
like
worst rotation I've ever seen in my entire life. That's up 2-1 in the ALCS.
But that's what I was gonna say. Their rotation doesn't even matter because over the past six games, they have one game where they've scored less than six runs. They lost.
Yeah,
that
so
game.
They're powering this. They're powering their offense is guiding them through right now, and all the bats are up at the right time. You know what I mean? This is when you got to get hot.
I thought I'd say this, but let's go Strohs, baby.
Yeah,
let's bounce back here.
I don't.
big Carlos
Correa. If I had to make a guess right now and make a prediction, I would say that the grittiness of the Boston Red Sox is going to carry them all the way to the World Series, possibly a World Series title.
That fucking stinks.
It does. It would absolutely suck.
The Astros are a really good team. It's only two games.
Totally.
It's far from over.
I believe in a little thing called momentum, and I think that the Red Sox got it right now. So
I have a Xander Bogart jersey from my high school days.
What's the pitching matchup tonight? You know what the pitching matchup is?
The pitching matchup. I know it's not Jose Urquidy because he got lit the fuck up last evening. But it is going to be Zach Greinke versus Nick Pivetta.
I like Greinke, obviously, in this matchup. Sure, you know that he bodes well for the Stros. But again,
a young Nick Pivetta, you don't know much about him. He does have good stuff.
If anybody's crazy,
yeah, he's got good stuff. So
is what?
It's actually a nice pitching matchup.
Another meaningless stat to me.
It's walks, hits, per inning pitch. Clutch.
See, pitch. It's like. Yeah, I don't know. It's like they make things up as they go.
To me, walks, hits, innings, pitch is more telling almost in some certain cases than ERA.
It's like how good you actually do.
We were talking about that last week at softball. I think Bobby had a great inning or a great couple innings where we're shutting the team out. And like your brother said something like, you got a good WAR, you know, like as a joke. And then like he's like, yeah, WAR above replacement. I'm like. No, even I know this, yeah. And I don't even know what it means. You know what I mean? But obviously he's probably one or two trulies deep, or not trulies. The high noons. They love those high noons at softball. Big matchup this week, man. We got a undefeated team coming our way.
Scoop is shocked. You don't know what whip is,
dude. I mean, I know what it is, but like
should
I don't.
Should we steal the Jimmy Palumbo joke? Because it was a funny joke that he did. I think he should incorporate more of this on his show where he was doing made up stats, where it was like.
Yeah,
someone that sucked or something. Like, yeah, give it acronyms for shitty things.
Suck above replacement. Yeah, or something. You know, like these stats to me, it's just like nobody even knew what they were until Moneyball came out. Like Moneyball comes out, flips the world on its ear, and everybody's starting to talk about fucking analytics left and right. It's annoying. But anyway, so look, Boone stuff. Or upset about it, or at least I am. I don't know. I guess Chris, you're indifferent. Like
I'm fairly indifferent. Okay. Because I guess I kind of. Warmed up to the idea that Boone will be back.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't warming up to that idea. I thought a cultural change was needed in New York, and it's not. So I don't want to go full-blown Randy Quaid from Major League 2, but boy, oh boy, it's hard to get behind a team that just doesn't give a shit.
That'll be a disservice. I don't think it's that. I think the Yankees definitely give a shit. It's just maybe they see things different. Maybe the leaders on the team, I don't know that they would ever do this, but I know that the players like Aaron Boone for what it's worth.
Yeah, so. Well. Hey, guess what?
Sure, they like Girardi too.
There was football. Yeah, exactly. Well, Girardi would actually pull your ass out of the game if you dogged it. So that's why he was actually asked to leave. You know, like guys like Gary Sanchez were like, I can't play for this guy. He's not letting me be a lazy, fat piece of shit. You know what I mean? So that's on Sanchez.
Speaking of gone.
Speaking of speed and big men trucking over other people, we had ourselves a game last night. We all lost our picks. And, you know, because
he won his pick.
We did not all lose our picks.
You took the Titans?
Yeah, yeah. Remember? I was like, I never even actually made the pick. And then when AJ made the graphic.
Of course, I didn't gain a game on Gooch this week. Why would I? You know, like, I thought I had at least one. So we both wound up at 8 and
six for me.
6 for you. Oh, no. So, yeah, I had 8. All right. So 6 for you. So at least I'm, in second place. And that's fun. I think that's what you said last week. You're like, just don't finish last because I'm not finishing not first. Yeah. You think you're going to kind of run
it's
away
still
with
very,
it.
Very, very early. So
no, of course. It's early. There's a lot of games to be played.
And typically right. When I get overconfident. Is
but last night, I was, you know, I'm in. Listen, I've watched enough Cowboys games already this year for like when fourth down situations come and arise and they're right in front of you to make a decision. I'm more or less always leaning towards take the points. Last night, you have a quarterback that was willing to do everything and anything, especially on that last run right before this, where he Air Jordaned it and just to get a first down, you know, and it was short, right? So that's why they had to go for it. But Josh Allen did everything in his power to will that team to win that game. And I think that's what the decision was made. McDermott said, you know what, finish the job, kid, because I know you're gonna, and he slipped. He slipped. That was it. Like if anything, that 6'9" quarterback,
he slipped, but I don't know who the guy was that made the play, but the guy there was good penetration on that play. So whoever it was,
I think it just looked the illusion of good penetration because he was already on the ground.
Well, my point is that he was the reason why his foot gave out from underneath him was because it was a fucking 330-pound man in front of him. So, like, he definitely was engaged in contact with a defender.
Anybody notice the penetration talk is through the roof in commentary these days?
Yeah. You know what? My brother, the end of the day, we're watching a Cowboys game. And I know he laughed, right? And then my dad was like, what are you laughing at? And, like, my dad definitely said the wrong thing. And my brother was like, yeah, that's it. But I know, and maybe Danny, you can shout me out or text me after you hear this, but, like, I know that you were probably laughing at Romo saying gaping hole. Like, I was just, when I heard it, I was like, God, Jesus, Tony, you know, like, I know for a fact, like, maybe there's a bet within the broadcasters, that's like how many times you can put penetration.
I cannot, into the conversation. I cannot imagine that being the case with these people in this day and age right now. Because could you imagine if, like, that text chain got leaked? Like, oh, we're gonna try and be sexual. They would all get fired. Romo would be doing nothing.
Romo would be coaching.
He'd be drinking Coronas on the beach.
Yes, Coronas paid that man a lot of money. But yeah, I do feel like there was there's something to that, AJ. There's definitely something to that. But yeah, so here's a guy looking right at the screen a little awkwardly. That is King Henry. Last night, this guy is just proving time and time again, as much as I always want to say, like, the wheels will fall off this guy, or there's too much traction and tread on the tires or wearing out, blah, blah, blah. He just shuts everybody up and he just goes. And, like, there was obviously the first run that he had that was, I think it was a 76-yard just scamper. I feel like he ran that in four seconds flat.
That was the fastest any player or any running back achieve, you know how they do that advance.
Yeah, like,
the next gen set.
He ran faster than any other running back has this season on a play.
Can you believe
that? He's 245 pounds.
Like, he weighs, like, I weigh maybe 10 pounds more than this guy, and you know how slow I am. So, like, imagine this speed that comes out of this guy. Like, it's just out of control.
I'm going to go ahead and answer this question right here. And I think you could make a strong case that Derrick Henry is a top five back of all time.
Where does he rank? Where is his overall rushing stats? Do you know, as far as, like, where he ranks now? Because, look, think about this. Like, as hard of a runner as he is, and I told you this in pre, there was one run where, like, Micah Hyde, like, squared up. Like, he's like, I'm gonna take you out. And I'm just like, what goes through the mind of a Micah Hyde, because he's about to get run over? And he did. He stopped him, but he got ran over.
But that's why Micah Hyde is a stud.
Micah Hyde has always been one of my favorite safeties in the league.
You take that. That's a Charles Woodson-esque play.
That is a Charles Woodson-esque play. He did eat it. And, I can only imagine where this guy ranks all time as far as a stat. You got
it. He only ranks 74th right now.
74th all-time rushing.
Yeah.
So here's my theory, right?
I want to get nobody's to my gonna, point, too, about –
yeah, ahead. Nobody's yeah. going to – to me, I don't think there's enough solo running backs anymore for – like, he can't do the 2,000 yards a year thing anymore, right? No. He's not going to do that every year. He does get an extra game. What?
He might do it again
He might do it again this year, but I'm saying, like, there's not enough of those for him to just climb. Like, Emmitt Smith is the all-time leading rusher, right? But the reason why Emmitt Smith is the all-time leading rusher, besides the whole theory that his offensive line was great, is because he never came out of the game.
Yeah, like, do you
there
know
was who, no there was no supplementary
know, do you know
back.
Who, now that Frank Gore is gone, now that AP isn't playing, do you know who the all-time leading rusher is active right now?
All-time leading rusher active right? Do you know?
LeSean McCoy was it?
So wait, done. You know?
I do not.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say because I was
top of my head. I would say probably Zeke.
Zeke has a lot of yards. Yeah, maybe. Aaron Jones. I don't
know.
No.
He's been splitting time up until last season.
That's true too.
Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram. So go fucking figure.
Yeah, right? that's mind-numbing.
It's mind numbing, but that's a very, very telling stat about the direction of where the NFL is going.
Zeke Elliott. Oh, my bad.
Go ahead.
No, Zeke Elliott is second. Derrick Henry's third. Le'Veon Bell is fourth, and Melvin Gordon's fifth.
Melvin Gordon. See, that's another one I would have never thought.
So go figure. The way the NFL.
But that's why, since I'm.
It's hard for these guys to get the compiling stats.
They can't compile anymore because they're always coming out every third down. This guy is an exception to the rule because he is in a lot. I don't think I saw another running back in last night. Maybe there was, but, like, what, two, three carries maybe?
Also, that he's in the territory right now where he's 75th, but he's going to start rapidly passing people on a game-to-game basis.
Possibly.
He's definitely got to be on that threshold. He has a decent chunk of yardage in the last three or four seasons.
Do you want to know who the eighth leading active rusher is?
I mean, sure.
Russell Wilson.
That's absurd.
That's ridiculous.
I'm glad we talked about this.
I'm glad you brought that up too.
It's
that...
been seasons since that guy's even ran the ball.
Back to the point where I said Derrick
Henry. Right, he changed his whole style.
Top five running back of all time. Now, I'm not an idiot, right? When you look at the body of work for some of these guys, the Tomlinsons, the Falk, it's really, really impossible to put anybody that's active right now over the guys that are clear-cut Hall of Famers, guys that made it first ballot. But what I'm saying about the run that he's on, what I'm watching, eye test, Derrick Henry is as good, if not better, than any of those guys. And what happens when he's like good defense proof, he turns it up down the stretch. He gets stronger as the season goes on, gets stronger as the game goes on. Guys straight up fear him. We talked about it going into the season. Is Derrick Henry going to regress because of all the usage? And I had the feeling, I was like, there's every once in a while, there's the unicorn that comes along and bucks all the trends. And he was like, I was comparing him to almost like AP. You'd see the load and you'd be like, eventually.
It's, if I had to compare him to anybody right now, it would probably be Peterson. Like, as far as like what the trajectory that he's on to the point where like he's playing for the Titans right now, but in 8 years from now, he's probably playing for the Jets or some shit. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it takes a special kind of mindset, like a Frank Gore mindset or an Adrian Peterson mindset, to play deep into your career
as a running back
when you were once a complete stud. So
the life expectancy of a running back is like 3 years. Nuts. Yeah. It's so nuts. I mean, they take the beating.
Life expectancy of an NFL player is like 3 years. So a running back is even less when you're factoring in all of them.
And the carries that this guy is getting is just, and there's no like buyer's remorse. Like when they call a run play, they just know, like, all right, if he gets stuffed at the line, that's fine. But we're doing it again on second down. You know what I mean? Like, Ryan Tannehill is probably in the safest spot he's ever been in his career. You know, as far as like, he's definitely got AJ Brown and Julio, and those guys balled out too last night.
That was a huge win for Tennessee. That was huge. The best their offense has looked all year. And in certain cases, it was the best their defense looked all year. I know that Buffalo put up a lot of points, but you got to expect that. Buffalo's been dropping 40 on almost everybody. They've had double digit wins in like the last 15 wins. So Buffalo's been rolling out everybody. And Tennessee, man, 4-2, make Buffalo 4-2, and now they would host a playoff game if it happens to be that way. So,
and now you look at the standings in the AFC North and it's South, and right now they're in firm control. You know, like what's the next best team?
The Colts, Packers situation.
Yeah, like the other teams are just not performing. I don't know if the Colts turn it up at all throughout the course of the rest of the year.
Titans already have a dub over the Colts, so
the Titans are a lot. You know, shout out to Mike Vrabel who really is coaching these boys up, and they're making plays. So. But that's it, man. Week 6 is beyond us, and it's over now. I can't believe we're 6 weeks into the NFL season. We already started dealing with buys, and unfortunately for me, well, probably fortunately for me, because I can't take another one like I just took. The Cowboys have a buy. You know, there's a lot of buys coming up. We're going to talk about potential flyers that you're gonna be able to grab this week. There's slim pickings right now, man.
Out there, but there's
a lot of people that are out there playing really well as far as fantasy football is concerned. That's why these players are not available. We'll get into that when we come back from the break. We'll get into that and all the rest of your sports news on a Tuesday. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now. All right, welcome back to the show. The Chop Sports Daily coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio. By the way, we did one extra for Flipping Made Easy. We took their massive signage and put it in the second studio as well. So we have two studios now that are technically being brought to you by Flipping Made Easy. So shout out to those guys. And also shout out to Absolute Eyewear, who I believe is getting a new customer today. My buddy Travis hit me up, or I hit him up. He was looking for an eye doctor. I said, are you high? Like, come on, man. Like, you've been hearing these commercials forever. He's like, oh yeah. I was like, yeah, go get him. Anyway, there is a good question coming from Facebook. I don't know who asked it, but
it seems like a Jay Devlin question.
Jay Devlin usually comes up as he usually comes up as him.
It's so weird. I think it depends on which Facebook feed that they're on.
Very true. I don't know. There's now multiples. Mine, yours, Chop Sports, everything. A lot of multiple fronts. But anyway, in a 17-game season, do you guys like the early bye or early bye week or later? I would have to say it was Jack. So shout out to Jack and your Ravens,
Happy that the Bills lost yesterday, aren't we, Jack?
Oh, he's definitely thrilled about that. If I had to take my guess, I would say put it right in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, but right now, like I get a little nervous considering, like, even the Dallas Cowboys, for example, have ripped off five straight. And now the momentum stops. You know what I mean?
But
that's but, right. But then now Dak is a little hobbled. My point. So it kind of makes it good right now. But to get a bye in week six or seven, like, and then have the 10 game stretch that you have to have after it.
And playoffs.
Right. So I would prefer to have it maybe middle of the winter, you know, like November.
Week 10 hitter, baby.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you right, know? Right smack in the middle.
But at the same time, I really would like to answer this question after any given week, and I get to pick my bye week in real time. Be like, you know what? We're banged up. I want my bye week four because everybody's hurt week three. So it really, like, I don't know that it matters in the grand scheme of things. You can make the case that all the early bye week sucks, but I would like to know the numbers on that. If you have an early bye week, does it really affect you down the stretch? Like, if you could talk about momentum like you did. If I won nine in a row, I don't want to go on bye.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know.
Cowboys, like, won five in a row. And now it's like, okay, see you in Minnesota on Halloween.
But if Aaron Rodgers has got a questionable designation next to him, I certainly want the bye.
I think if the Cowboys suited up this week, Dak might have missed the game.
Yeah.
There's really only two reasons why bye would, like, be purposeful to you. It's either your team is sucking and you just need a week to, like, get your shit together. Or, as we've said now, that the Jets could use a full season bye, honestly. But or, honestly, you're hobbled. And you need a week for these guys to get healthy.
Yeah. So, like I said, you can't take a bye in real time. You just got to play it how it is. And it's just how it happens.
Jack saying he's happy about the Bills losing and he has Derrick Henry in fantasy. I didn't mention this, and I'm going to break my cardinal rule. I was down 35.8. Derrick Henry scored 35. Or no, I was down 35. Derrick Henry scored 35.4. So I won by 0.4.
My brother was in a similar situation. He was down like 37, and he had Henry and I believe Taylor Bass, the kicker. So he just ran away with that one. So. And he's 6-0. My brother's 6-0.
I was also in another league playing Derrick Henry, and I was up 31, so I couldn't have it both ways. And I
had to choose, pick your poison. So speaking of fantasy football, this week you're probably rushing over to the waiver wire. I'll turn it over to Gooch. Not a lot of talent out there anymore, considering your rule is 50% or below owned in leagues across the nation. Across the globe, I guess.
That's not my rule. That's like a.
It's a cardinal rule. Yeah.
A fantasy show. Right. I stole it straight out of the ESPN Fantasy Live. So
take over.
In the quarterbacks, obviously, right now you got a Herbert bye, you got a Dak bye. I'm not sure of the other teams, but there's significant bye weeks initially in week seven. Like right out of the gate, you're losing a lot of guys, specifically quarterbacks. So if you have a Dak or you have a Herbert and you don't have a backup quarterback, which typically in a lot of leagues, guys don't carry a backup. Tua and Matt Ryan are playing against each other in what's been two pathetic defenses. There's a chance that both these guys go off. If I had to make my pick for this game, I'll go with Matt Ryan. But if I had to make my pick for the rest of the season and you were in a situation where you might need to carry this quarterback going forward, I would definitely stick with Tua because there's the ability to run the ball. And we all know what that means for fantasy's value. Beyond that, honestly, I would say Daniel Jones is a potential decent add if you're looking ahead to week eight and you want to get out in front of it. I feel like Daniel Jones is going to be projected pretty high. They're playing the Chiefs in week eight. So if you want to do a little bit of advanced planning, you could put Daniel Jones on your roster and just stash him there if you have a bye week in week eight.
If he pulls a Taylor Heineke there, I'm going to have an aneurysm. But let me just name all the teams on bye this week. The Jaguars, who cares? The Bills, the Cowboys, the Chargers, the Vikings.
Wait, the Jaguars are on a bye too?
Yeah.
I got Dak Prescott and Sunshine is my backup.
Starting quarterback.
That's fun.
Like two, you know, it takes away a lot of the potential replacement quarterbacks that you might have been interested in with Trevor Lawrence or someone like that. But right now, I think the only two real guys that are going to be looked to be replaced in this week is going to be a Dak or a Herbert. And I would go with Tua or Matt Ryan. They should both be available.
This is just interesting. I want to bring it up. So a lovely Facebook user, don't know the name, said that over the past 6 years, the Super Bowl champs have had buys in week nine or later.
Oh, that's Scott Simmons who said it. Good job for tagging.
I'm an idiot.
He's sitting there currently in school suspension right now.
I'm pretty sure the bye week is week 10 for Green Bay.
Well, there you go. Bang. There you go. You got yourself a Super Bowl. Congratulations.
Well, we just established that we're better than you based on our bye week.
Go to the running backs.
Wow. Talk about slim pickings here. And I'm going to have to talk a little bit about the last two in depth, but really with the Browns on Thursday night, Kareem Hunt out, Nick Chubb, I think Nick Chubb is going to play, but being that it's a Thursday game, they're going to wait and see on that. Right now, he does have high projections, so they're expecting him to play in terms of the who's who in the
fantasy community.
Who they playing? The Browns are playing who?
Denver.
Denver. Good, tough matchup, too.
Denver might actually steal that one, man. The Browns are
Denver, based off the way Denver looked last week.
Yeah, I understand it, but they don't. The Browns might not be with a quarterback, a running back, a receiver.
Yeah, but here's what I'm going to say about what I saw. Not to break down the game, but Denver's offensive line couldn't control the Raiders' defensive front.
Yeah, so the Browns might feast.
They couldn't handle the Raiders. I don't think they're going
to have
call.
Go ahead.
Against the Browns.
Proceed.
But with these two, if Nick Chubb does not play, I look for Demetri Felton and Dearness Johnson to get a very similar timeshare that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt get. If Nick Chubb does play, you could look for Demetri Felton to be the third down guy. 100%. I've been talking about him a little bit on and off throughout the season. He makes some splash plays. He's one of those guys that's electric, and he could get the ball in space and make things happen. And you never know. If you're desperate, I would go there. Now, going forward, for the next three guys, Ramondre Stevenson, we were all high on him. He was one of those sleeper picks going into the season. Me and AJ were very high on him.
To the Patriots running back?
Yeah, I drafted him in several leagues. Damian Harris is actually playing better over the last 2 weeks. He's a little banged up, but I know the Patriots really like this Stevenson kid. And
I mean, look at that nickname, though, as a running back, Ram Stevenson.
Oh, I gave him that nickname. Oh,
that's an excellent nickname.
That's what I would name my. That's what I would call myself if I was Ramondre Stevenson. So if that's not your nickname and it becomes your nickname, you guys heard it here first, Ram Stevenson. But he's not just the type of back that rams at home. Pause. He
through a gaping
hole. He's very versatile through the gaping hole. He's very versatile. There's no very hard to get penetration on him.
Right? Jesus so. Christ.
No, this but Ramondre Stevenson is versatile, and I think with the Patriots, the way they play, they're looking for that guy to take over for James White. Brandon Bolden was supposed to be the guy. I think Ramondre Stevenson is going to play himself into a little more action. And now the last two, these guys have been owned pretty much all season.
But they might have dropped.
I'm seeing that the trend is going down. They're starting to get dropped, which makes sense as bye weeks start to happen. You can't really hold these guys. Now, Trey Sermon, in the little bit of sample sizes that we've seen of him, the 49ers weren't giving him the ball in the goal line. It was going to the Juszczyk or whatever the fuck that guy's name is. Juszczyk. They were giving him the ball down low, and it was no Trey Sermon. But Trey Sermon was getting good usage, 19 carries for 90 yards, I think, in the Green Bay game or one of those games. And Elijah Mitchell, I always get his name wrong. It's Elijah Mitchell, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so Elijah Mitchell, he's been banged up. And
I need a show out this week. He's been better.
He's coming around like in terms of health, but the production hasn't quite been there yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like it's hard for me to completely sell on Trey Sermon at this point, because as he learns the offense, I could picture like a second half surge out of him. And I've compared him to an Antonio Gibson of last season, where Antonio Gibson in the second half really took off. It might be leaning that way towards the Trey Sermon in the future. So I would just monitor him. And if you have the space, I would consider adding him. Same thing with Ronald Jones. Last year, they were pretty much a dead even lock in terms of carries. Right now, Leonard Fournette's the offense. He's the clear cut guy.
Yeah.
But if Leonard Fournette does get nicked up, you could fully expect Ronald Jones to be a touchdown.
Rojo machine. Back in the conversation.
And he'll definitely be touchdown dependent, because I think that they'll pass the ball to Bernard a lot. AJ kind of reminded me of that before when we were talking about our list. But yeah, Ronald Jones at 40%, 60% of leagues he's available in. If does something happen to Fournette, I always say handcuff your backs. This guy with a running back on a really good offense is potential to score some TDs.
All right. Moving go to the wide on. Receivers. My main man. I finally had to make a move on my fantasy roster. I tried to do something. They said, nope, you have Rashad Bateman on the IR and he's no longer on the IR. So now you have to have him.
Yeah,
right?
This has been tough. I've been shuffling Bateman around the list for a long time, and judging by the amount of percentage has gone up, nobody's been listening to me.
Well, you probably saw, but he tied targets last week.
No, that's what I'm saying. The usage was there and the snaps weren't. So he was getting, when he was on the field, they were putting packages in for him. They clearly like this kid. I clearly like this kid, because I've been talking about him for a month. At 21%, he had a decent showing in his debut. And I could only expect that out of anybody out there in the free agent pool, outside of a running back that inherits a job, this guy has the biggest potential to be someone that you could consistently start, because we just don't know about him yet. So because of that reason,
you think that like this will solidify Hollywood Brown as like the new Henry Ruggs, like the guy that'll stretch the field, but that's it.
What I think it could do is it just helps because you know what that does to an offense. Yeah. Dallas is experiencing it right now. We don't know how good Bateman is, but if Bateman starts to earn some respect, then 100% it's going to help out the tight end, and it's going to help out the over-the-top stuff because you're going to have to roll coverage that way, and that's just football, you know? With the fact that the Ravens are really running the ball well and you always have to respect Lamar, the offense is clicking right now without Bateman really getting into it, and I just think that Bateman has potential to be one of those guys that he's a set and forget guy. If there is anyone out there, it's him. Not saying he's going to be, but high potential there. And then moving on to Crowder, Jets came off a bye week this week, right? This week. He was on my list last week because we were really desperate. And I moved them all the way down because they were going into a bye. He actually got dropped in about 10%, 10% usage got dropped. I don't know if I said that right, but you get what I'm saying. I do think that Crowder is the type of guy that in a pinch, you got a couple injuries, you could flex him, not with great confidence, but he has a very high floor, not necessarily a high ceiling. But if he does, he's going to get his targets. He's going to get his eight targets. They're going to throw to him on third down. If he happens to pop for a touchdown, then it's a bonus. So Jameson Crowder, I like. Rondale Moore, I can't say enough good things about him. I just wish they would use him more. Free Rondale Moore campaign starts here. But they don't really have any reason to. They kind of just use him as they need to. Mm-hmm. AJ Green still
a talented receiver too, man.
Respect out there, Christian Kirk. They're deep at receiver. Now they almost need an injury to take place.
I see your number four guy, and I raise my eyebrow to that because I'm like, as soon as he caught a couple balls last week, I was like, here we go. We're going to start talking about this guy again, and we're talking about T.Y. Hilton. Now, is he hurt again?
Yeah, he's hurt, but T.Y. Hilton has gotten hurt in every single game that he's ever played in his entire career. So I don't think there's much to worry about there. Obviously, he's at the tail end of his career, right. And I'm definitely not picking up T.Y. Hilton. I put him here because, you know.
Well, you put him over I don't know who Slim Pickens plays for, but.
Slim Pickens, yeah. He is
playing for the London Packers Argonauts.
Number two wide receiver.
Yeah.
They don't get any balls thrown their way, right? But, I'm not adding T.Y. Hilton unless I'm completely desperate, and in certain cases I am. So, okay. I will add him.
All right. Regarding that bye-week trend that Scott brought up, Scott, have some faith in me that I could bring the friggin' graphic up.
Wow, look at that, huh?
It all producer. In the comments. What is it? So, as Scott was saying, I'll actually just read what he said because it's the best explanation of it. So, if the trend here continues, right, we see the bye weeks, they're going in number order, they're increasing. Week 14, the possible teams that would fit this trend are the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Eagles, and the Colts all suck balls.
Are any of those teams playoff teams like for this year? I don't foresee that at all. I don't see any of those four teams.
The Colts could.
Nah, no way. No shot. I don't think they – no.
Not a shot in hell.
I don't think so. But anyway, that was cool. So that one, that's a good stat, but I don't think the trend continues at all. So guess what? Believe it or not, you know, we have football talk. We got baseball going nuts, you know, almost in the World Series. The NBA is back tonight, and it kicks off with a couple games. We'll get into both of them. But before the season starts, we talked a lot about Ayton in the finals itself as such a big role player for the Phoenix Suns, and they don't reach the extension. So now what? Like, what is the plan here, Gooch? Like, what are they going to do here?
I mean, it's not all lost yet. They could obviously still retain him. He's going to be a restricted free agent after this season. So he's still a Suns player this year, and they have time. I know that they missed the deadline. There was a deadline, right, to get that extendo done. But, I'm not sure what the Suns are thinking because it really wasn't about the dollar amount in terms of the yearly. It was about they didn't want to give him that fifth year. And I guess for a big man that looks like he's 75 already and he's only 22,
he's got that,
it kind of makes
sense.
He's
got that Greg Oden look going on.
But the way he played down the stretch for them, I think that he kind of earned it. And there's just the scope of the league or the landscape of the league, and you see all the contracts going out there. Like, I'm not going to burn that bridge or ruffle the feathers of DeAndre Ayton and want him to leave because
Ayton to the Knicks confirmed. Go ahead.
I mean, at least in you're going to start seeing that, unfortunately. but I think that the Suns fucked up, but it's not all lost. There's chance for reconciliation there.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
I would be very happy if the Knicks traded Mitchell Robinson's bum ass to the Suns along with a first round pick.
I like Mitchell Robinson, but that's just me. But anyway, we do have, like I said, games to be played tonight. The Brooklyn Nets are back and they're playing Giannis Antetokounmpo. Can't say his actual name, but looks like we're going to get the champ. Okay, great. It looks like we got the champs to take on the Nets, the Kyrie Irving-less Nets. To me, this is not going to show you who the Nets are as a whole. I mean, it's game one of 82. You know what I mean? Like, you can't figure it out right off the rip. But we'll find out what the Nets are made of when they don't have that guy in the locker room at all. Like, it's not even like he could be sitting on the bench and, like, start, you know, screaming or be a presence. He's not there. You know, he's not there. So I'm interested to see how the Nets respond to not having Irving even present on the court at all in any capacity. So
I think the Nets made the right decision. Obviously, Kyrie makes them a better team on the court. You can make the case, you know, I've talked shit about Kyrie, whether I agree with what he's doing or not, kind of do, but I don't think it was the, I think it was the right move to keep him out, because you don't want to deal with the inside, the in and out, back and forth shit.
Yeah.
The Nets are a talented team still. There's a chance that the Nets are still going to win this game. Obviously, they have KD, they have Harden. Is Harden healthy?
Yes.
Sure.
Oh, wait, he's always
he's hurt. Fat.
Yeah. I mean,
he's back to being fat, Harden?
He's always been fat.
Yeah. When was he not?
I don't know. He was like extra fat Harden in Houston for him to get traded.
But
basically wearing pillows under his jumpsuit. Like, everybody's trading.
I have a hard time previewing the NBA game. It's a pick 'em, basically. I'm surprised by that. I thought that no Kyrie would give the Bucks a little bit more of a respect, being that they're the defending champs. But obviously, the series was tight.
Is this game in Milwaukee?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. So, as I was saying, I like the Bucks in this game. And shout out to Scott. I did not. Oh, we're on the wrong side of the town here. I'm supposed to be over there. Whoop. Whatchamacall. So I like the Bucks in this game only for the sole purpose of the banners going up and all that good stuff. Thank you for your back. Yes, we are back. Anyway, let's move on to the next topic before I completely blow my head off today, which is, yes, I've never rooted for the Warriors in my life until tonight. I'll take the Warriors over the Lakers. What did they do? Oh, they got Russell Westbrook, right? Okay, cool. So the super team is back, and we'll see what LeBron and the super team does. I would love Curry to drop 60 on him tonight in his first game of the season, just to kind of shut everybody up. Like, that's cool. Super team, keep stacking, you bitches. And
I
then
hope
just
everybody is ready for the LeBron James season, because it's going to get ugly.
Oh, you think it's like a LeBron James revenge tour?
Well, definitely is.
Okay.
The Lakers are going to be there in the end. I don't know if they're going to win it all, but the Lakers are going to be a great team. Russell Westbrook is definitely not trash. I don't know why people think that. I understand the knocks on him.
14th team.
I understand the knocks on Russ, but Russell Westbrook plays with a motor. He plays hard. I respect his game, but I do understand the knocks. But to say he's trash, you have no idea what you're talking about, Scoop. As far as the preview of this game, it's hard for me to get into a game one of the NBA for any other reason other than gambling.
It's cool purposes. That it's back. Yeah. You know, yeah, that's the exciting part. You're wearing your NBA shirt.
I love the NBA, but in terms of what happens in this game has next to no bearing. Unless somebody gets significantly injured, there's no bearing on how things are going to change, turn out. Is Klay Thompson playing?
No.
No.
Is he ever going to play again?
Yes, but not anytime soon. So when Klay Thompson starts to play and then we get to see what the Warriors are actually going to be like, it's hard to really gauge anything. Steph Curry probably will go off because that's what Steph Curry does. But
I hope so.
The Lakers are deep, and they got a good defensive team this year.
They had anybody else besides Russ?
Melo?
There's
a lot of turnover with the Lakers roster.
They got a lot of their old players back. Like Avery Bradley is now back. Rajon Rondo's now back. Dwight Howard.
Rondo's there still too, huh?
Well, he's not still. He
just came back.
He was on the Clippers last year.
I'm coming home. Everybody just coming back to LA.
The key to the Lakers situation is the guys that they were able to get rid of in the Kuzmas and the
Marcus Gasol.
Yeah, so they got rid of
I thought for sure they would have brought back Kuzma, but then obviously the Russell thing.
Well, no, he was contracted as they traded him. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, I know. I just thought he was like a staple in the Staples Center.
Staple of being bad.
Bad. Okay, bad at basketball. But anyway, the Knicks, they play what? Tomorrow night? Celtics? Yeah. All right. Well, that's what I'm excited about. I mean, the Knicks are back. The Nets are back tonight. We'll figure that out as far as let's see what life after Kyrie is like. I don't know if that ever gets resolved. I really don't. I at least this year. You know, if you're making a stand for something, chances are it's just you're not going to be like, never mind.
They didn't bend the rules for all the nurses and the police officers and everybody else, like the regular people. They're not going to make the exception for Kyrie. So, yeah, you're right. It's going to last all year unless Kyrie gets moved, which I think there's some potential there, but
did you just call me Scoop?
I almost did. Yeah, I've seen Scoop's name 15 times in a row, so that's why.
Scoop has said some bullshit things this in the comments this episode. By the way, Derrick Henry, fat ass Derrick Henry.
I think that he was making fun of like our segue.
We were talking about
Sanchez, and you were like speaking of big whatever, but it was just like yeah, Derrick Henry's fat. I think that was sarcasm. But me and Scoop could go to war over this.
I'll go to war with Russell Westbrook any day.
Well, Scoop is supposedly the Knicks are favorite. He says Scoop's apparently going to be doing a Knicks and Nets podcast with a buddy of his, so that meeting has to be set up. So be sure to get in contact with me, Scoop, so we can do that, get that started as the season gets started.
And me and Scoop have to play a tennis match because he was talking shit about that.
That's right. Okay. But as far as the network is concerned, brand new Jimmy Palumbo show is now available. He did his show yesterday from Los Angeles. He's out there in Hollywood. I don't know what he's doing out there, but he's out there, and he's coming back for next week. But he. You know, he's got a brand new podcast out today. Also, look for tomorrow. Well, Squeaky Bum Time also drops. So, soccer fans out there with the Premier League, I think that just started. There's like soccer 365 days a year, and I can't keep up with how many leagues are doing what and whatever. Just give me the World Cup, and that's it. But anyway, if you want to listen to some soccer stuff, the Squeaky Bum Time podcast is our guys. They are our guys. And then, obviously, tomorrow there will be no Jets podcast. They're going to take a week off because of the bye. And, you know, what else is really to talk about the Jets? You're going to analyze the first six.
Did you ever get the technical issue sorted?
I'm still working with our good friends over at Captivate. To get last week's episode up. So if that gets up, that'll be actually really good filler. It'll be a recap of their previous loss and going into the bye week, but coming back out of that. So anyway, after that, I'm not sure about Joe Matarese.
He's doing his pod today.
Okay, he's also on my shit list. But anyway, so if you're watching this, Joe, I'll smack you to sleep too. But anyway, so he's doing his thing on our network. And of course, the Mets will be back again to wrap up their season, put a bow on it, probably talk some AL and NLCS action. They're going to probably go bi-weekly until the season starts again. But keep your, you know, obviously subscribe to the entire network. Support these guys. They're hustling out here. They're doing their thing. And then I'm missing somebody. Oh, my podcast. We'll drop tomorrow as well with the All About the Star. I'll talk about the fifth straight win for the Dallas Cowboys and also heading into the bye. And, of course, Chart Choppers. I really want you guys to check out this podcast in specific because I think it's too good not to listen to. So if you're listening to this right now and you have not subscribed to the Chart Choppers, go subscribe to that. Alan Austin does a fantastic job. He's putting in the work. So go help him out as well as far as the support goes. And, of course, that's it. So, again, thank you to Flipping Made Easy for the studio. Thank you to Absolute Eyewear, who, again, might get themselves a brand new customer today. And, of course, all of our sponsors, Joe Pizzamenti. Please go over there. Joe has dropped. I'll drop the link in our stuff today. He's got a lot of cool supplements, a lot of happy pills, which, you know what? Might actually finally take them up on some of those happy pills. I can sure as hell need them. But Joe Pizzamenti has been a great supporter as well. He actually has this this new system that I have to talk to him about and talk to you about, Gooch, off air. But apparently some kind of processing with credit cards and stuff like that where actually a percentage of all purchases from our store can go to charity. It's a weird thing. I guess I'll have to talk to him, but that would be a cool thing for us to get back. So subscribe to the network. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you guys for watching, for Sturch and Gooch, and, of course, AJ Behind the Glass. Sorry about the technical difficulties. We have one breaker that just keeps on, boop, you know, after certain things are clicked on and off, whether it be something that the resident acupuncturist is doing or something that we're making coffee at the wrong time. I don't know.
No, it's definitely the acupuncturist.
Okay, we'll blame her then. Anyway, for Sturch and Gooch and, of course, AJ, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys tomorrow on a hump day.
The Yankees just announced that Aaron Hicks will be back in December, just in time for nothing, and he'll be out by January.
All right, great. Thanks, Aaron.